Thank you for gathering us to yourself and setting up this platform, this opportunity to feed upon the bread of heaven, to receive even this river of life that come from your throne, that come from your mouth. We pray, O God, they might touch our mind, touch the rain of our soul, which is so dry and thirsty and parched, which is like a wilderness. We pray, O God, that you might rain upon it, water it, shower upon it, soften it, O God, from the hardness. Take away the stone, move through it, and make it to be a fruitful land. Take away the stones, take away the thorns, take away the hardness, take away the crookedness, the valleys and the mountains. Level it, O God, into a place where you can walk on, where you can plant that seed of life, that seed of Christ might germinate, might comfort, and might bring forth all manner of fruit. You say it's for the healing of the nations. Lord, begin from us. Let that which will comfort from Christ heal our soul. Heal these worries, these anxieties. Heal these desires, these affections and passions, the rebellions. My God, that everything that is contrary, heal it, O God. Let strength come. Let there be form. Say it was without form and void. Create the form. Create the likelihood, the nature, the godness, the godlikeness. That image and likeness of Christ. Let it come. Till we come to the fullness, to the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He said, to a perfect man. Lord, walk in us that we might be that perfect man. Amen. That man you are raising on the earth. Mm-hmm. It says that your seed will be strong. You say you shall possess the gates of the enemies. Mm-hmm. Lord, take away that which is weak and sickly. My God, take it away and bring forth life. in the name of Jesus. Let the entrance of your word bring light and life and deliverance and anointing. Anoint our eyes and our hearts by that which comes from you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Just a few thoughts. I know time is gone. Just a few thoughts on along the line of what our brother was sharing in the morning, but just a little different. I'm looking at Genesis. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. We'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and then we should end up in Matthew chapter 1, or whatever order it comes. I'm thinking about that word incubation. You know, he spoke the word that time is like a womb, you know, through which God is working to bring forth. You know, they say time heals, isn't it? Time heals the heart, heals relationship. You know, you give it time, and you know, even what you thought was not possible, you know, becomes very, very possible. Amen. Mm-hmm. Today in Kenya, there is peace. Time has healed it, isn't it? Amen. You know, a few weeks ago, it was like everything was going to bust. But time has healed it. You know, it has gone through the process. And God is still working on us. He hasn't finished with you yet. You know. So, I just want to talk a little bit about this process of incubation. You know, what God is doing. A little bit more detail, you know, looking at practical examples, you know, we'll see in the scriptures. But Genesis 1 and 2, very deep. You know, say in the beginning, you know, how can eternity have beginning? They say there's a problem now. You know, God is a, but he say he's the beginning and the end. So for someone to be at the beginning and at the end, that means he was there before the beginning and he will be there after the end. Amen. So say in the beginning, you know, it's a God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. There's no way God would have created the earth without form and void. I mean, that's contrary to God's nature. When God creates something, it's perfect. You know, so something must have happened, but we're not going there today. You know, but he said the earth was without. You know, some people will say we became. Alright, so if you look at Jeremiah, he will tell you that the earth began to, there was an earthquake, it began to shake, and, you know, there was judgment. Something happened. Now, the suspicion we have, which the scripture gives us, is that there was a rebellion in heaven. We know for sure. Because the angel that we call, well, his name is Hillel. H-E-Y-L-E-L. Gabriel. It has to be L. Mike, L, like God. Alright? Gabe, messenger, L, of God. So, Hillel means he was the praise singer of God. The bright, shining one of God. It has to be L. Do you understand? Yeah, it's just simple. It has to be El. So, if you look at the Hebrew, it says Hillel. That's its original name. You know. Now I'm taking somebody's position. All right, I better move. I moved. Anyway, so we suspect. We are not giving too many scriptures. So we allow some room to, you know, play around. You know. But we're not really interested in going too deep, but we know there was a rebellion, because Revelation 12 tells us that the tail of the dragon, is not, drew a third of the stars of God. Yeah. So there was something.
Was that past or present?
Well, you see, that's the problem. You see, that's the problem, because when you start categorizing it into time, you get into problem. That were, and now, and is. Yeah. Amen. So it covers all. Amen. You know. So he said, the beast that was and is and is going to perdition. Okay, so it covers all the brain. You know. So anyway, so there was clearly a rebellion, because Ezekiel 28 tells us about that. He said that was in heaven and it was cast down. All right, and another scripture says that the devil was cast down to the earth.
Sorry.
So, and of course, Isaiah 12 talked about it also. He says, Isaiah 14 says, I shall be like God. I shall go up to the stars of God. There was rebellion, certainly. And in doing that, he said, that shall be cast down. Okay, so somebody is coming down. And so, I just want you to, just for a moment, imagine. So, he must have been put in a prison. Do you understand? Because Peter says that certain some angels who did not keep their estate were chained in darkness. So they were judged and chained. Okay, Hebrews also tells us that these angels were also judged. So is it possible that the earth was actually their prison? Is it possible that the earth was their prison? And when they got here, they got mad and began to destroy the place. So the earth became without form and void. They tore it up. So God brought the man and said, restore it. Does it make sense? So when he put the woman, somebody came and said, I have a competitor here. So what do you think he's going to do? Launch an attack, a strong one. Okay. Anyway, so that's by the side. But the point I was trying to make is, he said the earth became or was without form and void, and then darkness was upon the face of the day. So there is something called darkness. It's a spirit. It's a spiritual principle or energy. Okay, it was there at the beginning. Darkness was all over. So there is an association with this destruction, this waste that has to do with the earth and darkness. So darkness goes with it. You understand? So darkness was upon it. But that's not the end of the story. But it says, and the Spirit of God was on top of the situation, was moving. So even in the midst of all this, the Spirit of God was there, you know. And had a hand was on top of it. Amen. Amen. Then verse 3, which is actually what I want to talk about, it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so right at the beginning, we have the darkness, but in the midst of that darkness comes the light. You know? So for us, it's a good news. All right. Now, if you take for a moment that we are earth. Okay, so this is another, you know, the different scenario, because he took man, he took the dust. It's not the earth, and we saw in the morning. He said Elohim. He said God emptied himself. By the way, it hasn't stopped anyway. So it's still empty. As a flow of life, of a river, okay, flowing from God. So you say there's a river flowing from the throne of God down, you know, down to man. So there is something, you know, there's a measure of life coming from God to us. In other words, God came into the earth. God is coming into the earth. It's much like what he was saying. In a way, you will say, well, God was trying out something, you know, but the problem thing is that God came into the earth. Now, that is a principle, because if God comes into the earth, That is abstract. It doesn't really mean anything. But if you see God comes into you, that sounds to me like Emmanuel. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Now, what is Emmanuel? God in evening. Yahweh. Elohim. In Elohim evening. But it means God is coming into my situation, into my circumstances, into the struggles, into my failures, my uprising, the things. So, even though there is darkness, but the Spirit of God is actually supervising it through the womb of time. Amen.
Amen.
So, you come into the world, the time begins, and there's going to be an end. But at the end of it, God wants to create order out of the darkness. The confusion, God wants to create something in it. You know, so somebody says that the God, Romans says something, it says that God subjected the creature. The creature by the creator. Yes. But he had a hope that even though that thing he's making has been brought into vanity, he had the hope that there will be a resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
There will be a change. You know, like the butterfly breaks out. You know, and there's going to be a change. You know. So I'm looking at the issue of darkness in my soul. I'm bringing it, you know, the darkness is within me. But the darkness within me is just like they say, if you have a problem, it means you have a potential for change. If you have a problem, say, I'm finished. You can't be finished. If you have a problem, well, you can say it's a potential for change. So, the magnitude of your problem is the magnitude of your potential for change or resurrection. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay, so man fell, but that's not the end of the story. God has a hope that, and not just hope, there's a capacity in God to bring life out of the darkness. Amen.
Amen.
You know, so this darkness is not just outside. This spiritual principle called darkness is within us. But you see, that also means that wherever you have darkness, light will be, will also go. In other words, light is also coming within me. Alright? So we can see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, it's talking about this darkness within the soul. So in verse 4 it says, okay, 3 it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds. So he's now bringing something, he's speaking about blindness in the mind. Okay, he's speaking about darkness in the mind. Okay, that the God of this world has brought a blindness in the minds of them which believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So this is much like the situation in Genesis. There's darkness everywhere. So it said darkness is not just the physical, it's speaking about spiritual darkness in the mind, in the heart. Okay, but in the midst of that situation, God is causing his light to shine. Look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So he is speaking about a glory, speaking about a light within. You know, so you know, going beyond the surface of my being a Christian. No, it's not just a question of fellowship or whatever it is. As we are speaking, it's a matter of the heart. You know, what is the condition of the heart? Now, every individual must come to the starting point. Now, the starting point is to realize that there is darkness in my heart. And doesn't Jeremiah say that the heart is deceitful above all things, and what? And desperately wicked. That is the starting point. You know, I know there is this modern thing that has come, the faith talk. You know, I'm the righteousness of God, I'm all that. Time has also taken care of that, you understand? Because after about 20, 30 years of faith talk, many people are coming out of it now because we are seeing that it's not really helping. You know, the faith talk cannot help because the faith talk is not addressing the reality that there is something happening within my mind that needs to be addressed. You know? And if we go back a chapter before, it deals a lot to people with that. Look at verse 14. Now he's speaking about the old, about Moses, about this. 14. Yes, but their minds. Okay, let's start from 13. Say, not as Moses, who put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away in Christ? So this is the beginning point where something breaks, you know. So he's saying there is a covering in the soul of every individual, in the mind of every individual, there is a covering, and that covering must be addressed. You know, so it's not a question of the church I belong to or where I don't go or activity. It's a matter of, you know, the relationships. In a matter of light coming into my soul. Just like he said in the beginning, let there be light. Now, when the light comes, what the light is coming to do is to break the veil and, you know, bring that knowledge. He said, nevertheless, okay, verse 15, but even until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon the heart. But there is a good news. He said, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, you know, when I bring my heart to the Lord, I must have a hope. As I come to God, I must have a hope. And what is that hope? That this veil is going to be taken away. Now, when a veil is taken away, it's knowledge, it's a relationship. It says, this is life eternal that we might know. Amen. So, if I don't know God, that means there's no relationship. There's no marriage. I don't know if you understand. The bridegroom must come to a place where it must know the bride. There must be a relationship. There must be, you know, that intimacy. You understand? So it says, now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So, I cannot be changed until I see. It's when I see I am changed. You know, so change happens when I see. In other words, when the veil is taken away, then I see, and that experience
produces a change. Hallelujah. You know, so when he says be like Christ, you know, be like Christ, how do I become like Christ? I become like Christ by seeing. See, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Let's read that scripture. I think it's in 1 John 3. He said, we do not yet know how what we shall be, but we know that when he appeared. Yes. Chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For what? For we shall see him as he is. That's really where I'm going to see. There must be a sin. Now, who sees? Is it your body that sees? Oh, so you have eyes in your heart. Ah, praise God. That means I have finished the preaching. As you guys sit down. Yes. Because if you the day you come to that place, you have, the devil say bye bye to the devil. He's lost you forever. You must see in the spirit.
Yes.
You must hear in the spirit. You must eat. You must discern. And that is when your soul comes alive. Amen. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit. See, once have I heard, and twice have I spoken, and twice have I heard. So, most of the time we are hearing just at the physical level, just hearing noise. Alright? But we need to hear. The man that needs to hear is inside his body. And that is the inward man. And that is the living soul we were talking about.
Amen.
Now, that is the reality of the New Testament. You know, we have been living in the old. The old doesn't deal much with the inward man. You know, was on the table, was on the physical, you know, there was forms that, you know, you do this, touch not, taste not, and not. It's good, it had its own power. But they say, you can compare that with the new. Because the new is going inside. He says, I will put a new covenant. I will put a new heart. I will write my law in the inward man. So this inward man needs to see. Because it's all darkness. Remember, it says there's a blindness covering. You know, so in the morning we were speaking about the outer court and the carnal Christian. The carnal Christian is that man is born again. He knows about God. But his soul is empty. He has no experience down. And when you talk about faith, you are speaking about the experience of the inward man. You say faith is the substance of things not seen. Where do you see it? Is it with your natural eyes?
Uh-huh.
Ah. So faith is speaking about the your soul. The soul must have a vision. If the soul has not seen it, then you cannot see God. Because God is a rewarder of the soul that diligently seeks. You cannot seek what you have not seen. Amen.
Amen.
So when you see it, it says that they saw the city afar off. How did they see the city? With the natural eyes. There was something that they saw down in their soul. And the Bible said that when they saw it, they had a reality. There was something that they could hold on to. They said these are foolish men. But the Bible said that because of it, they confessed that they were pilgrims. I mean, it's the reality of what they saw changed their physical lifestyle.
Amen.
You understand? So they began to conduct themselves in a manner that people didn't understand. Can you imagine Abraham? 25 years. He's waiting for a reality that he saw within. He saw a city afar off. You know, that was not, we didn't go to any skyscraper. You understand? It was a vision. There was something that he saw, and he confessed that that in fact they look for a sister whose builder and maker is God. He saw a city afar off. You know, so the only way you can do that is because there was a reality of the inward man. You know, there was a reality of the living soul. So there's a reality that God is bringing to us, where we begin to come into a place of change. You know, and that is really what I want to talk about. Let me read just one more scripture to just introduce what we are talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you also see it there. Look at verse 9. He said, "But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man." You know what was read in the morning? He said that their eyes have waxed gross, their ears are heavy, is it not? And that their heart is not. So they hear, but they will not understand. They see, but they are not seeing. In other words, the physical is having activity. And we come to church, we are shouting and saying, "Oh, the Lord is good, praise God." But this inward man is dull. Hey, David said, "Where are that cast down? In the house of God." Is that what David said? He said, "Oh my soul, why is that cast down?" They were in the house of God, but the soul was saying, "Look, I want reality." You know? So you and I you and I must respond to that cry within the soul for reality. You can be in the house of God, but it's cast down. Say, "Why are that cast down, oh my soul? Awake." You know? He says, "This thing, you know, eye has not seen, ears, you know, neither have entered, you know, the things which God had prepared for them that love Him." But look at verse 10. "But God had revealed them to us." What? By His Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That those deep things were the things God was talking to Adam about as he was strolling around. Because Adam could hear. He could relate with God in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. Then it says, "For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him?" In other words, the spirit of man is able to relate with the soul of man. You know, so if we draw it, you can say, down here is the soul, but there is also a spirit. So the spirit of man is able to search. Of course, this is the body. So the spirit of man searches, knows all the things that are in, you know, within the soul. And of course, when we say soul, we are talking about the mind. We're speaking about the will. We're speaking about the emotion. And then we're speaking about the desire. Okay, this one is like the ego, isn't it? The desire is a fallen man. So he's crawling. So he's a man, but this is a fallen man. Then the will is like the ox, isn't it? And then the motion is like the Simba. We went to the zoo the other day and we saw Simba. We went to the Kenyan Nairobi National Park and we saw Mr. Simba. Well, Simba is also within my soul. So Simba is also within my soul. Amen. So this soul has a dual nature. I don't know if you understand. How come he's using eagle? Eagle is also at the national park. You see, the crawling one is also at the national park.
Then you see the ox. I saw some of them there. Different types. I know. You know what? In Ezekiel, he tells us that these cherubims were also looking like this. There were cherubims there too. So Ezekiel tells us about the cherubims. Which are heavenly, the heavenly beings, or actually natures of Christ. And here you have the humanity. So you have the lion, you have the eagle, you have the waters, the ox, and the face of a man. So man has a dual nature. Has a heavenly and has a natural. Amen. So, you was talking about, he took the earth. So, the soul, my mind, has a natural earthly activity. I can read book, I become a lawyer, I can become this, I can become that natural. But, and you think that is all that the mind can do. But the mind is also heavenly. The mind can rise. They that wait upon the Lord will do what? Not just renew their strength. They will do what? They will mount up. They shall rise. Your mind can rise. There was a time I thought I couldn't read one chapter of scripture. But suddenly, I said, I'm seeing a miracle happening. I'm telling you. I'm talking about myself, not talking about understory. Try it out. Your mind can change and become heavenly. It can rise above all the things, all the interests that you think, I can't get my own. You can get your mind. He said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind
is
stayed on me. And, let's look at two types of bed. You have the eagle. No. We are giving two examples. So let's take the example of Noah. There was a dove. Remember the dove?
Mm-hmm.
And another one.
The river.
I did the same.
Yeah.
One went and never came back.
Mm-hmm.
What was he doing? Can you guess what he was doing? The other one went and came back. He went out again and came back. But when he came back, he now had something, he had some life. Eh? So, he was feeding on green things. The other one that was feeding on dead bodies, there were too many dead bodies. He got lost feeding on dead bodies. Feeding on dead, lifeless things. That's the mind. It's a nature. So, I can be so busy. I'm a busy businessman. What are you? I work for you and I'm busy. I have to write reports. Fine. Just be careful. What kind of report are you writing about? Fighting and killing and all that. It looks like dead bodies. What does it look like? But that same mind can be like the dove. Stayed on God. Feeding on the life of God, arising into the heavens. Hallelujah. The same nature, So I can give you all the reasons. I cannot read this, I can't do that. The same mind can be resurrected, can be turned around. You understand? So that is the encouragement that God is giving, that you have this dual capacity. To become like the cherubims, it changed heavenly nature. Or it just goes with the dead things. Okay, so we're just looking at this Corinthians. The next verse says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the Spirit of God which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God searches really. So the Spirit of God searches the things of God and then brings it and makes it a reality. So let's use the green. Oh dear, something has taken over, man. So here you have the Spirit of God. We have the Son of God, God the Son, and then the Father. So that's the Elohim we were talking about in the morning. The Elohim Yahweh. Amen. So the Spirit of God will take the things of God and bring it into our spirit, and from our spirit it distills down and then comes down to the body. So it means there is the ability of my soul to see right into the heart of the Father. There is the ability in my soul to hear what the Father is saying. You know, so I can hear at the natural level and also, you know, relate at the spiritual level. You know. But let's go to the second part of the message because I know we are tired. Let's go to Matthew. We'll come back to this. So I want us to look at five experiences. Five real life experiences. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, there are five women mentioned. I want us to look at those women. Because those women, they speak of, remember the woman speaks of the womb, is it not? The woman speaks of the church. The woman also speaks of the soul. So that, so at the natural level, you have the physical woman. Then at the spiritual level, you have the church, which is the bride, is it not? Now at the highest spiritual level, you also have the soul, which is a womb, which is a bride that must be married to Christ. In fact, actually, that is a real woman. So this soul here, this soul here is the bride of Christ. So the spirit of man and spirit of God are to bring the two together. I don't know if that does that follow. That your soul must be married to Christ. Okay, we saw that in the morning, isn't it? Because the head of Christ is God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11 tells us that the head of the man is of the woman is a man, and the head of the man is what? Christ. And the head of Christ is God. Amen. Good. So we are looking at this joining. So the Spirit of God has given to you is to help you hear the voice of Christ through the Spirit of God. You understand? Okay? A lot of quietness. The Spirit of God that you have was given to you to enable you to hear the voice of God. Because the Spirit speaks. The Spirit hears. You understand? Yeah. So what the Spirit of God hears, He speaks to you. He has to speak to your ear now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that ear is in the realm of your soul. Amen. In your heart. Yes. That is the end of the preaching. How? Yes. That's why we want to talk about those five women. There are five women that will teach us. Five experiences, five women, however you want to take it, but there are five individual, five experiences. Alright, so five women. The first woman we meet there is, her name is Tamar. Where is she? Tamar. Where is she? So tell her we preached about her today. Okay, good. She's the first person. Verse 3. That's the first woman. Abraham begat Isaac. That's what he was talking of in the morning. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren.
And Judas begat Phares and Zara of Tamar. Amen. So, this Tamar had a problem. The problem was that she had to have seed. She had to receive life. Now, Judah had the first son that was married to Tamar, isn't it? Remember? And he was an evil man. And what God slew him, isn't it? Then, according to the law, the younger brother married Tamar, isn't it? He too was an evil man. He said, I will not raise seed unto for my brother. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And because of it, God was saying, no, you don't understand. That's contrary. Mm-hmm. And that was a God also slew him. Judah said, now wait a minute. I have to be wise. The first two boys are gone. There's a little one, his name is Shela. Look, I'm going to hold on to him. And so meanwhile, Tamar was desiring, you know, to have children, to receive seed. And you know what she did? You know the story? She acted out a drama. Amen. She changed her form, her costume, and she went and played the harlot, isn't it? You know, but the truth was that she received seed. She conceived and brought forth. Amen. And it happened that the man he brought forth happened to be in the line of Christ. Amen. You know, so Tamar speaks of an experience of receiving seed. Now, that's what we have been speaking about in Genesis. It says, let there be light. You know, so there's a seed that you receive when you receive Christ. There's a seed. That's the beginning. You know, Mary, we'll come to Mary at the end, but we'll see. Mary also received seed, but it began with Tamar. You know, and here she's mentioned by name that she received seed. You know, but she had to struggle. She had to. She showed a diligence. You know, there was a cry in her heart. She wanted seed. She wanted to receive life. You know, and for us, when we receive Christ, Christ comes into the soul. Christ comes into an environment. Now, we need to examine a little bit into what happens within the soul. You know, so. Yes. Yeah. Now, those circumstances, like if you follow the message in the morning, there are various circumstances, you know, in life, you know, that that you go through. All right. For instance, you look at Hannah. You know, she also had to receive it, but it came through a dealing of God. So that those circumstances that I mentioned, they are speaking of the various conditions that God walks through. Like he said, your condition may be different from my own condition. You know, so each one of us will have our own pathways that we come through. But you see, in it, God is dealing with it. Some of the pathways may not be righteous. You understand? It's not saying that God pardons the. But what God is saying to you is, despite or however ungodly or crooked you are, I mean, whoever you are, wherever you are coming from, you know, God is able to meet you at that point and turn that circumstance. But and you see, you'll find out that was not the end. Tamar was not just the end. Because you will see along the line that God comes to that issue.
You know, because you see, you must come to the place of judgment. Okay, you see down the line, and we're going to get there. You know, but so when you come into God, just like the outer court is a place of mixture. When you come in from, you know, when you come into the house of God, it's like say many are called. Can you choose those who are called? Many are called, but few are chosen. But it doesn't even end there. It says fewer are faithful. So you see in Revelation 19, it says these are they that were called, they were chosen, and they are what? Faithful. So you can see the different levels going from the outer court to holy place, and then you come in to the very, so those are, so there are various levels of dealing. So in the church we are teaching the contrary, that when maybe you are born again, that's the end of the road. It cannot be the end of the road, you know. So there has to be a dealing of God, you know, to judge the heart. So we're looking at the heart, you know. So you see that first you have the fallen nature of the heart. You have the fallen nature or fallen man of the soul. So the first, there's the fallen nature of the soul. When sin came in, the soul died, became a dead soul. Instead of being a living soul, it became a dead soul. So you have a living soul, it became a dead, became a dead soul. It was cut off from fellowship. You know. Now within this dead soul, within this situation, you had darkness. Remember, this is still, we're looking at the soul. So darkness came into the soul. So you have the nature of the soul. They have the darkness in the soul, isn't it? Now, apart from that, you have the fallen angels or spirits of darkness. You have spirits of darkness. So you have the spirits of darkness that feed on the darkness. I don't know if you understand. Because when there is darkness, there are spirits that feed on the darkness. Because they cannot get energy from God. They need darkness to be in you so that they can feed on you. So you say, dust thou art, and you, that is the serpent will feed on dust. You understand? So you have the spirits that feed on the darkness, and then you have other fallen souls. So this is what the Bible calls the nations or the sea. Okay. And then in the midst of that, you have the light. You have the sea of God. So you have Christ being introduced into the midst. So Christ is fighting three things. The seed of Christ in you. So remember, this is a seed. So this seed of Christ must overcome the fallen nature, must convert it. The seed of Christ must judge the darkness. And this seed of Christ must overcome, must throw down or cast down these spirits that are feasting on the darkness in you. So now, this is the spiritual warfare that every soul has to fight. Amen.
Amen.
But there is another complication. You have the world. This is the world. There are those who are not interested in fighting the darkness. They're not interested in fighting the fallen spirit. In fact, they want to give the fallen man everything he wants. So this is what the Bible calls the old man. This is the old nature.
So this is the old man. This is the color man. What again? What other name are we giving them? Sometimes they call it the flesh. And this old man is what? Well, Atama is a little bit. I'll explain that. So when you want to pray, this man doesn't want to pray. He wants to go and watch ball game. He wants to go and have party. Amen. So when you're in the house of God, he wants to go out. So you have to fight and overcome. So Paul said, I bring my members into control. I keep my body under. Amen. Now, this man is being strengthened by this spirit and by darkness. So the darkness is strengthening the old nature. And this is also strengthening the old nature. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But God has introduced a seed. So guess what? 1, 2, 3. They want to abort this pregnancy. Hallelujah. So Paul said, I labor in vain again until Christ be formed in you. So it's not just enough to receive Christ. The seed must grow. And it must come to fullness. Not just to come, but the soul must now grow and overcome all this. And when all this has been overcome, this seed becomes this Christ, this Elohim that God is talking about. Hallelujah. So it's not just enough to say I'm born again. Born again means you have not really understood what you are involved in. You are just excited. You are just excited. In Nigeria, we say you have bought market. That is, you have bought market. In Nigeria, we say he has bought market. That means you have actually carried a lot of responsibility without knowing. Amen. So, as he was saying, he said, to them who received him, he gave them power. What is the power? You have to choose. To go on to perfection, or to stay around and play church, you know, I'm born again, I'm a son of God, anything I want God can give me, and all that. Now you can have all of that, but the real issue has not been changed, because this soul must be converted. It must be changed in nature. And this is what Hebrews 8 says, I will make a new covenant. You want to read it? Let's read it. I will make a new covenant. Say, I will put my law in the inward parts. And you shall know me. Everyone shall see me or know me. You know? So, now, you are speaking about the conversion of the soul. This fallen nature must be converted, must be changed. Hallelujah. So that is what Tema is speaking about. Tema is saying, I have received the seed. But you see, it's not just enough to receive the seed, because you are just at Judah, you are going to Christ. It's still a long way down the road, isn't it? Christ is the 41st, but you have to go beyond 41st to the 42nd generation. So somebody says, I'm at Judah, I'm now, praise God, I've ended the journey. You're just starting, you're getting started. So receiving the seed of Christ is just a declaration of intention. I've declared, I want to be a son of God.
Amen.
I want Christ to comfort in me. I'm pregnant.
Hallelujah.
You know, I've received the seed. Praise God for the seed.
Amen.
You know, and that is that when you receive the seed, it's sweet in the mouth. It's not the word. As a real, it's beautiful. Yes? But that word has experience. It's going down. We're going to see the experience. It's going down. So when the word comes, it's going deep down to the soul. Remember, deep down in the soul, there's a lion there. Simba is quiet. There is an eagle. It's
uncontrollable mind. You kneel down, you are in Kampala. You close your eyes, you are in Kisumu. Amen. That mind must be tamed. Must be converted. And that is the my lifetime achievement, to control my mind. So that will keep him in perfect with whose mind is. Amen. David said, "My soul, wait on the Lord." I say to you, wait. Say, "My soul waits on the Lord, just like dead that wait for the morning." Have you waited for the morning before? Yeah, you have waited. It's the longest time in eternity. The morning never comes. You are waiting. You say, "My soul waits on the Lord like dead that watch for the morning." That means there is a strength that I receive, you know, to be able to wait. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's see the first, second experience. We're actually going very quickly. Now you see the second one in verse 5. So it says, "And Salmon begat Booz," or Boaz, "of Rechab." Amen. So this is the second woman, Rahab. You know who Rahab is? Amen. How is it possible that God is going to bring Rahab into this kind of equation? You know, you're looking for a perfect woman, a perfect church, a perfect experience. So there's no such thing. What you find is Rahab. Amen. This Rahab, not just, you know, she's a step ahead of Tamar, not just receiving the seed. Now, when the spies came, if you notice, everyone was crying out. They knew that there was a tribe, there was something new that had happened. And there was a hunger and a thirst in their heart. They were crying out. She desired, and God responded to the cry in her heart and sent the word to her. You know, so what he's saying is that whatever your condition, wherever you're coming from, you can find your kind in the Bible. This is not a perfect book of perfect people. Their life is straightforward. Everything that I've asked God, you ask God for shoe, he gives you shoe. Ask God for shed, he gives you shed. Ask God for car, he gives you anything. I ask God, he gives me. Those people don't exist in the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
It is people like us that exist in the Bible. Rahab. Can you imagine Rahab? Alright? And in her condition, God came to her. Don't you know? That the Spirit and the Word, two witnesses, God sent them. Hallelujah. So this Rahab is speaking of my soul, really. You know? And God sent this ministry to bring deliverance.
Hallelujah.
To bring redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. They say, "Put the red cloth."
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of speaks of the blood, that redemption of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, no matter how far, I mean, she sold herself. She sold her honor, sold her dignity, sold everything, and has no initiative, everything. If you're tired, you can just stand up a bit. We will soon close. Amen.
Amen.
So but the point is that God is coming for you. God, you must believe it, that He's coming for you. Now the devil tells you, "Oh, God has finished." God cannot have finished with you. He's coming for you. Wherever you are, no matter how far it is you have gone, God is coming. And He's coming for the nature in you. You know, He's speaking of that aspect of you that you think can never be changed. It's lost. He's saying He's bringing redemption to it. Now, guess what happened when these spies came? Where did they go to? Her house, isn't it?
Mm.
Which part of her house?
The roof.
She hid them. Okay, they came in, but she hid them where? In the roof. Guess what is in the roof?
Hmm?
the mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not. Now, see, where is Geraldine? See, it's coming for Tema. She played something. Now, there are natures in us which are not really straight. But God has a plan. Okay, so He brings the word and hides it. So when they came looking, they didn't find because they had hidden. Now, there is something that we have. The Bible said the bride has made herself ready. It didn't say God made the bride ready. The bride made herself. It speaks of a diligence. And one of the things that Brother Paul always talks about is the diligence. Many of us, we do not have a diligence in the future. We just think that we're just going to stumble and stumble nowhere. There has to be a diligence to hide the spies. When we receive the word, like the word you're receiving, you must respond in diligence. Guess what? There's going to be a flood again. It's a different type of flood. Now it's a spiritual flood. The first flood was political flood. Yes? Now it's a physical one. You don't know the next thing that's going to come. You probably hear a story, your farm, something happened to it. Or you have another thing, something happened to this. There will always be a flood. There will always be something to test you, to see, do you really value your relationship with God? There will always be something that comes. But you see, she showed that diligence. She received the word, she valued it, and she says, my son, hide my word in your heart. You know. So, and this is where many of us are failing, because we are not showing that strength, that diligence, you know, to receive the word, to value it. I remember the story that is told about a sister who has so much money in Germany. She has so much money. She could give it for the gospel, but she was keeping it. Then the day she decides to give it, she brought the money. They say, sorry, Hitler has devalued the currency. So she had paper. She had paper.
No value.
You know, so the word you are receiving is really costly. It's of great value. Now it depends on how you are going to respond to it. You know? So some people receive the word and they value it immediately. It changes their life. Others receive it and say, oh, I will hear it again. The point is that you are not really sure of tomorrow.
That's right.
You're not sure. You understand? So when God comes to you, so you must know the season of your visitation. You know, when God opens the door, you run as though you don't have another chance. You understand? And this woman, she saw it, she said, look, this is my chance. She was not waiting for a second chance. I mean, she got it and she ran with it. She hit the spies, defended it, and of course, that brought redemption. So when the judgment came, first, God made a way of it. So if we respond to God, God will deliver us from the hour of temptation. A time of famine, a time of poverty. You know, people say, when men say there is a casting down, you'll be smiling. Because see, the economy of God is different from the economy of Kenya. I hope you understand. You can go ask Joseph. He was in the midst of famine, but he had plenty. Hallelujah. You know, so you can, like you said, you can tap into the mainframe. There's a place of supply. You touch it and it is continuous provision that is assured for you. You know, so it all depends on our relationship to the world, the relationship to, you know, how you respond to the thing God is giving to you. God never gives you everything at the same time. Here a little, there a little. If you're faithful in a little, then you're going to be faithful in much. You know? So, God is looking for virtue. He's looking for character. He's looking for integrity. He's looking for resilience, diligence. You know? So that's what, you know, Rahab speaks of. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're coming from. Okay, so we have to move on to the next The next one, you see it in that verse 5. And it says, Booz begat Obed of Ruth. So that's the third. You know, so the, we've seen how many now? We've seen three. We've seen Tamar. Two. We've seen Rahab. So this one is receiving the seed. Receiving the seed. This is hiding the seed. The seed, yes. Now, it deals with the mind, but I'm not even going there. We'll probably look at, we'll talk about the mind. Because that's critical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? But she got the mind. The mind must be changed.
Mm-hmm.
It says, be thou transformed or metamorpho. Mm-hmm. By what? By the renewal. That Greek word renewal means more energy. It's an anakaino. That means there is light that comes. You must get something extra than what you have now. That's what is going to change the mind. You know. So then the third one is where we are. Root. Now root is where business starts. Because when you receive the word is not dormant. The word is going down to your roots. Okay? That's what root is speaking about. It's speaking about the nature of the inward man. So this is the change of nature. Nature change. Now, who was Ruth? Ruth was from the tribe of Moab. Ab means father. If you know a little bit of Hebrew, Abna, Abraham. Abraham means father.
Abba.
Or Abba. Moab means from the father. Amen. You know what it is? He's speaking about something that is brought from the flesh. It is flesh upon flesh. Flesh upon flesh, according to our theory, means no hope, 66. And it will end up in 66. That is man upon man. So it is horizontal relationship. It has no chance of ever going up to God. The cross speaks of the vertical and the horizontal. The horizontal is man to man, philosophy of man, the theology. Emotional intelligence, all the things they are talking about, you know, psychology and all that, that is, you know. But the vertical is what lifts the soul up. So Moab speaks of the flesh. And like Mr. Geraldine said, there are many things of the flesh that have come into the house of God. So God has a program where he now sits down with the flesh and begins to judge the flesh. And that's what Ruth speaks of. That Ruth, the Bible says that a Moabite cannot enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. Another one says, shall not even enter at all, at all. But how come a Moabite that couldn't even enter to the tenth at all is the great, great, great grandmother of Jesus Christ? Amen. That is resurrection.
Amen.
That is change.
Amen.
That is a deal. That means God changed her nature. God changed her canal. You call it besetting sin. Is that what you call it? Well, besetting sin can be delivered.
Amen.
It says the prayer of the mighty can be delivered.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It says, shall the captive of the mighty be delivered? Can the lawful captive be even? That means you have sold yourself to the devil. Say, devil, I'm your servant forever. The Bible says, the lawful captive shall be delivered. You must believe it. Amen. That is the message of Ruth. Hallelujah. So, even if you are weak, your condition is so bad, think of Ruth. Hallelujah. God catapulted her and brought her to the kingdom. So if Ruth can come in, you can come in. And I can come in. Hallelujah. So that is the power of this message. You know. So God has faith that He sends Christ into this very hostile environment. He comes in. There is power in the world. There is power to change the soul. Convert. He said the word of God is powerful, converting the soul. You know it. Psalm 19. Says the word of God is quick, converting. Now, let's read a little bit of it. There are two of them coming to my mind. You see, Psalm 19:7, and then Hebrews 4:12. Okay, so the law of the Lord is what?
Perfect.
Converting. Another one says restoring the soul. Restoring the mind. Restoring my emotion. Restoring my desires. You know, yesterday I was speaking to the young people about what they call positive energy. Passion. It's sold everywhere now. Television is selling you passion. Your phone is selling you passion. They want to sell a comb for you. There has to be passion in it. Anything you want, there has to be passion. It has to be... Yes. Comb. Anything you want to buy. If they don't put some sexuality is not going to sell. Give the people what they want. Amen. So the whole world is excited now because they're buying and selling. Yeah, that's the mark of the beast. Amen. That's the, you know, so that beastly nature, that nature that is not subject to God. You know, that is the Iranian thing now, isn't it? You see a young man, he's a football star, and he shaves the head this side, shaves another one, then paint this one red, paint this one pink, paint this one yellow. Amen. He's a star. Then he will weave his tail. Haven't you seen it?
Yeah.
I did. Amen. What do you think is going on? Hallelujah. And then he has another one, one small thing here. That's one small thing here. He's a big star. And all the young men and girls are following him. Hallelujah. He's laughing. Hallelujah. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Hallelujah.
There's another type of strength. For the same soul. Hallelujah. You've got to make a choice. And this one is better. Say, in thy presence is fullness of joy.
Amen.
And pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I have to choose that this is what I want. You know, and God can actually win my soul from the earthly pleasures. Yes. He says my soul is weaned. Don't you understand? If the soul is addicted to some carnal things, that same soul can be weaned from it. You know, it's like you have a child. He's always with a toy. In about 5-6 years, you don't even know he has that toy. He forgot about the toy because he has overgrown it. Your soul can overgrow it. If it's trained. As he begins to behold the glory of the Lord, he forgets those lower things. Hallelujah. So that is the message of Ruth. Now my soul can be changed. You know, and you must believe it. You must sit there and say, my soul, you must be converted.
Amen.
You must be. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says it speaks of the anchor of the soul. Have you heard of that? It says that there is the foreigner has entered
beyond the veil.
And it's the anchor of, in other words, it's pulling my soul. Amen. The soul wants to go back. He says, no, you must go to the saving of the soul. Amen. We must believe to the saving of the soul.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, so we're moving very fast. We might come back if we have time, but let's just finish up. Now, the next one you find is verse 7. No, verse 6. She's not mentioned by name, but we know her. It says, and Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of what? Of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Who is she? Bathsheba.
Amen. You know what job it means? It's a lawgiver. Bathsheba speaks of the law, the oath. It speaks of the oath. It speaks of the covenant. Amen. It's a covenant that God has made. It's a place of covenant. Hallelujah. And so you say God is not just saying, I'm going to bring you. But we heard a little bit of that covenant this morning. God has a covenant, has a plan, has an oath that God has. There is a purpose of God for my soul. And what is that purpose? So that we might be joint heirs with Christ. Now that is an English language you and I don't understand. We don't understand it. He said that we shall be called joint heirs of. Do you know who Christ is? Yeah? Let me show you Christ a little bit. Colossians chapter 1. We'll just see a little bit to see what it means to be a joint heir of Christ. That's the plan and the calling of God. See, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard. Look at Colossians 1, verse 13, I think. What does this say? Colossians. Okay, verse 13 says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness? So you better believe it, there's power in darkness. Amen. There's an energy of darkness. And that's part of what we're speaking about, passion. You know, negative energy is there. You feed in it, you feel happy. It energizes you unto darkness and unto death. And had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiving. Now look at verse 15. Say, who? 1:15 now. Say, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him we are all things created. By him that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. Even this spirit that is running all over Kenya, you understand? If Christ is above that spirit.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, all things we are created by him. Our what? And for him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is tremendous power. Mm-hmm. We're created by him and for him. Look at it now, verse 17. And he's what? Before all things. And by him all things comes in.
Hallelujah.
In fact, someone say it is the divine touchstone. That means everything in the world is resolved in Christ.
Amen.
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 That is when you put Christ, he says, what shall it profit the man to lose his soul? You understand? Yeah? And don't win the whole world. This is even beyond the world. That is the whole unit, everything on one side, and Christ. Yet, Christ is much more than it. And that will say that you are a joint heir of Christ.
Amen.
Think of that power. Hallelujah. So we need to ask, we need to pray that God will open the eyes of understanding to see that glory. And when I see it, for instance, I say, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Yeah. All the things he went through didn't look like anything. Amen. Now, when we see the glory, I'm telling you, the things we are going through in the world will be like nothing.
Hallelujah.
Because of the power of that vision. Can you imagine a man that has run to be president for 4 times? Do you know a man like that? First time, he didn't pass. Second time, he has not passed. Third time, he has run to be president. He's not a president. And if he has a chance, he will run again. He has a vision. Amen.
Amen.
Now, your own vision should be more than his own. Hallelujah. That when you see Christ, nothing can discourage you. Nothing can... You know, in fact, Paul said, what can take us away from the love of Christ? Neither death or life or nakedness or peril or this. is able to separate us from the. He's speaking about the vision. It's a soul that has caught a vision. You understand? Now look at, it says, look at verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? The preeminence. Hallelujah. Verse 19, for he pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Hey. Hallelujah. We need a new vision of Christ. We need, there's something fresh that we need about Christ. We need to see some, a new vision. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 9 of chapter 2. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what we're hearing in the morning, isn't it? In you is the fullness of that Godhead. Hallelujah. That's Emmanuel. Christ means God in man. You know that the fullness of God in man, not just in the head, but also in you. That's my calling. That in me, the fullness of God, as can be expressed through my personality. That is God's calling. Hallelujah. And if God expresses himself fully in me, it won't be enough to show the glory of God. So God needs you to come and join. God needs you. God needs a many member body to show the manifold glory. Hallelujah. Even with that, it says 144. Do you understand? That is 12 by 12 in fullness dimension. Then you add another 3 zeros. That means 00. That means the fullness of the fullness of the fullness of the church. Hallelujah. That means people from every condition of human soul. That any condition which the human soul can be subjected, Christ must comfort to it. In every tongue, in every. That's why you don't need to be an American. Because you have a plan. God has a plan through you to show forth something unique. Hallelujah. Just like he needs those who are there. So wherever situation you are in, there is a purpose for you in Christ. Hallelujah. So I have to be me. You have to be you. So whatever condition God puts you, you go overcome. He said, if you're a slave, in being a slave, you overcome. If you're a free man in Christ, you also overcome as a free man. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. So what is Bathsheba speaking of? Bathsheba speaks of the covenant. That's what I'm speaking of. There was a hope. And that hope was Solomon, a son of peace. Hallelujah. You know, so in Bathsheba, God judged the flesh and made a complete judgment of the flesh. You know, and God told David, he said, you have been a man of war. You cannot bring forth my temple. I'm going to bring a man of peace. You know, so it's a place where God begins to bring the old man, the energies of the old man, the corruption of the old man, and make a complete judgment of him. Hallelujah. And then of course the fifth one. We know very well that Mary, isn't it? And Mary, you know, is the seed that brings forth Christ. And you see it in verse. Where is Mary now? Okay, verse 116. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. But the story doesn't end there. You need a little explanation. If you go to verse 20. Okay, look at verse from 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as yet his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now, this is the point where many of us will miss the mark. Now, what brings forth is the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. It is the spirit of adoption. Now, Jesus was the son of Joseph by adoption. That's the point I wanted to bring. Amen. Was by the Holy Ghost. Now the Bible says that we have received the spirit of promise, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It is the spirit of God that makes you a son. Hallelujah. Not by your strength, or by, you say, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are. So it is a spirit of adoption. Now, adoption means that the work is done by the Holy Ghost. The change that is going to be done in you is going to be by the work. It says, not by power, not by mind, but it's by my Spirit. Hallelujah. So we receive the Holy Ghost into our spirit when we come to the point of, we call it the Holy Ghost baptism, isn't it? But it's just a deposit. The Holy Ghost has just put his leg and put a mark. But the Bible says that he does that in hope of the redemption of the purchased possession. What is that? That is the soul. Amen. So the soul is the prize of the Holy Ghost. The soul is the prize of the Holy Ghost. Okay, we got it. Okay, So the soul is the prize of the Holy Ghost. So the soul overshadowed Mary. That's how the same way the soul must be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Okay. So the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to overshadow the soul with glory. Amen. And so the Holy Ghost is ministering from your spirit into the realm of your soul. Hallelujah. I don't know if you understand that. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the fullness in your spirit. But the soul is the destination. Amen. So the soul must be overshadowed. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And then the reality came into her soul, into her womb. Alright. So what we are saying is, I must know the reality of the Holy Ghost in my personality. You know, today you have a crisis in the church because the Holy Ghost has no effect on character. There's character. So you have a lot of tongue-talking people, but no fruit. You know, so there's an arrested development. There's an arrested development. The Holy Ghost hasn't gotten down to home. He hasn't come home. See, the fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Ghost comes into the soul, it produces fruit. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. So that is the salvation of the soul.
That is the change. Because if not, Jesus cannot marry the soul. You understand? The soul must put on that character. And that is the oil of the soul. That is the wise virgin. Don't you understand? Amen. So that spirit of adoption must possess the soul. Hallelujah. You know, so remember, the seed has been introduced into the soul. That seed must grow and come to fullness. You know, so when you plant and you plant a seed, it says first it brings forth the blade, is it not? Then it grows and puts forth ears. But that's not where you want the full corn. So you want the full expression of Christ in my mind. You see, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. So the strength of the spirit must be felt in my mind. My mind must be conquered by the Spirit of God. My emotions must be conquered by the Spirit of God. That's what makes you a son. Amen. So today the message is of is miracle, deliverance, breakthrough, and it's all money. Amen. So it's a great distraction. Christ must comfort in the soul. Christ must. That is the what marks out the bride. Okay, is that change in character? Amen. So it's the spirit of adoption. That's what he's saying here. That the woman was overshadowed. You know. So sonship has to be by adoption of the Holy Ghost. That the Holy Ghost must adopt your soul into Christ. Must bring your soul, bring my soul into Christ. And it is a place of work. Maybe tomorrow we'll look at it, because in the holy place you have the lampstand. It's a place of oneness with the Spirit. Say, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You understand? So there has to be a place where my mind and the mind of Christ become one. You see, we have the mind of Christ. So I must reject my natural mind, my family mind, my Kenyan mind, my man mind, and have the mind of Christ. And it has to be by experience, physical, natural choices, stresses I go through. You know, I have to submit my mind to the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, so there's a lot of practicality in it. And this is where the church is missing it. Because we have received a gospel that is not sowing the right seed. It is sowing to the flesh. When you talk of seed faith, he's talking about money to get bigger job. He's not telling you an investment to make you more patient. To have more patience means more trouble. And you're waiting on God to do that. Amen. Nobody wants that kind of gospel. Okay, yes. Nobody wants that kind of gospel. You know? So this last experience, this last bus stop of Mary, is that place of travail. It's the place of bringing forth Christ. It's the place of testimony. Amen. And Mary brought forth Christ. So you are going to bring forth Christ. I am going to bring forth Christ. It's possible. Amen. That's what Mary says. You know, so we see these five experiences. That's why I say they are experiences. They are women, but they speak of various dealings of God. I don't believe it's all going on at the same time. But you know, it's working at different things, you know, passing you through different ways. He's trying to produce these various experiences. Some of them may be so harsh, but remember, God needs to judge the inward part. He says you will put truth. That requires truth. Where? In the inward part. How would there be truth in the inward part when there is no judgment? You understand? It says that when your judgments are in the earth, the people will learn righteousness. Man doesn't like righteousness until judgment comes. Amen. And you have to make a choice between good and evil. You must reject the evil to choose the good. So your inward part must come to that judgment seat of Christ. You understand? So there's an experience of the cross. The cross of Christ is not a wood you carry. It is a place of judgment. Death to the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
And the strength of Christ is of the, is when you find the power of the cross. You understand? When you come to the place where you are bringing something to the table, say, God, kill this one today. You, it's because you see, you must lay hands on the animal. They bring the goat. You must put your hand to identify with it. In other words, you must come today, say, God, see this nature, kill it today. And God says, I die daily. Paul said, so every day you must choose one particular nature. I said, today is the day of anger. Anger must die. Amen. So the following day you pick another one. So it's a here a little, there a little. Every day something is being put on the table. And as God is doing that, there is the inward man is rising. The old one is being killed. But Christ is coming forth. So though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is receiving life. Amen.
Amen.
But it has to be every day, a daily thing. You must bring the offering every day. In the Old Testament, today, after today, they, every day they keep, even now, if you go there, they're still bringing the offering every day. Amen. So we cannot be happy, you know, we can't be tired. Yes. You can't be tired of bringing an offering every day. Every day you must put something. You are coming to the judgment seat of Christ, a place of judging day. You know. So if we find that strength, you know, then we can see that after some time, the strength of the flesh, the carnal man, is giving way. And there's a new man that is coming forth. And I tell you, there's a people like that. God has a people who are walking in that place now. And usually they're not popular. They're not many. Here a little, here a little. There were 7,000 that nobody knew. Elijah didn't even know any of them. Amen. So you must believe that there's a remnant. In this Nairobi, there's a remnant.
Yes.
We are looking for them.
God
is looking for them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's a people that are looking for Christ. They are preparing themselves. They are saying, Lord, I must overcome. I must be in that first fruit. There's a first fruit that must, the first to overcome, to hit Mary, and Christ to come for the fullness. It may also be that, you know, well, he says that some will not taste death until that happens. So we are believing that that's going to be our experience. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, but the point is that, like he said, God gives time to finish up the matter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, so we see darkness coming on the earth. Man is becoming very, very bad. Gross darkness is coming. So there's trouble coming. But the trouble means more deliverance for us. If you understand. You know, trouble is to put more pressure so that the soul will comfort. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to end. I just wanted to emphasize some of the points raised in the morning and to encourage us. You know, wherever you are, whatever condition, whatever you are passing through, that there is a pathway. You know, that God has opened the way and God opened the path. And you can be in the place where you go, God will send the word to you. You know, the word and the spirit. And I believe that you are hearing the word, you know, and you have to respond with the right response. And that is to be like Rahab. Hide it. You know, hide the word. Own it. You know, be a stakeholder in it. Amen. You know, and you know, the word will always, Bible says, the way of righteousness brings life. Righteousness will always bring life. If you don't know anything, righteousness will always bring life. Say, in the way of righteousness is life. Show me a man who is righteous who didn't have life. Check your Bible. David said, I have been old, I have been young. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed. But he said his seed shall be mighty on the earth.
Amen.
Amen. See, is that a man who fears God? He said his seed will be mighty. He will be blessed. Hallelujah. So these are promises, but you see, we're not running after the promises, we want the reality. And the reality is that we are called to be joined here to Christ. You understand? So all these other things are just extras, but our focus is that calling to be part of God, part of that Godhead, to rule and to reign with Christ. So he that overcometh, I will give him a strength. He shall rule the nations, you know, with a rod of iron. So there's a place of dominion in Christ. So if we suffer with him, then we can reign with him, you know. And because of these things, you know, it's not saying there's not going to be, see, many are the afflictions of righteous, but the Lord will deliver them. With them, you know? So the afflictions are not meant to discourage us, are not meant to dissuade us. Rather, they're meant to focus our attention, you know, on the Lord. And as we have the right attention, we begin to see the change that God works in this world. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
About Mary means rebellion. God's name means rebellion. So as we were talking, what was coming to me is that in that nature of rebellion, if it is overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, like he said, by the spirit of adoption, we can only get into Christ by the spirit of adoption. So despite the nature, that rebellious nature, as the name implies, but because of submission to the spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost, she was able to bring forth the seed of Christ. So also for us, of course, like we were told in the morning, by virtue of the fall, we have darkness. So that nature is already in rebellion against God. But as we submit to the Spirit, to the Holy Ghost, that rebellious nature can be turned and bring forth the seed of Christ. Amen.